The story is told where Reb Chavke Levenstein was in a taxi in Yerushalayim, and as you know, you can't go in an Israeli taxi without having some story with the driver, and the driver turns around to Reb Chavke Levenstein. He says to him, "I want to share with you a story." He says, "Years ago we were in South Africa. A few of us, college boys, Israeli college boys, not so religious, and we went in our gap year, we went to South Africa for a vacation for a few weeks, and we were doing the safari, and we were having a fabulous time. And then one evening, we were sitting down, and we hear a scream, we turn around, and we see our friend David. There's a snake wrapped around him. He's screaming. And as we come closer, we see the clutches of the snake becoming tighter and tighter around him. And we try to pull the snake off, and it's just getting tighter, and we see there's no hope. We say, David, say Shema Yisrael. And for the first time in his life, he said the word Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echod. And miraculously, the snake let loose. And David gasps for breath. And he survives. So the taxi driver turns around. So Reb Chavke Levenstein says to him, "This is my friend David." He says, "Now, who chazar b'tshuvah, he became frum. He has a frum family." So that Abramsky said to him, "And what about you?" He said, It didn't happen to me, it happened to him. Unfortunately, this is not such a joke. But Legelin Yonenu, we are now holding in the middle of Sukkot, middle of Mount of Chasenu. Let's try and take the message. Maybe that's what we're going to discuss of Yaakov Avinu and eternalize it to something actual in our life, Beis Hashem. Interesting name. Sukkot has various names. For me, one of the most interesting names is Chag HaOsif. We know Sukkot is Mam Simchoseinu. So we look in the Torah, Parshas Re'ei, the Torah says, Chag HaSukkot Yifatelach Shivas Yomim Ba'ospecha Migoncha Miyikvecha Ba'ospecha, says Rashi, Bezman HaOsif Sha'ato Machnis Lebayis Peiris HaKayis. That's the time of Simcha. That's the time of Sukkot, Chag HaOsif. Is that what Sukkot is? We understand, we have the understanding, the Gaon explains, the other Sfarim explain, the Simcha is, you come for Kaparas Avoinas, have a Kivis Elikim, Simach V'Chagecha. What's the collecting of your produce, of your summer produce? That's the name, one of the main names of the Yom Tov. You have to understand what message lies over here. And more interestingly, the famous question, hopefully today with a different answer. The interesting words of the Torah, the end of Siman Tov Yud Zayin, the Torah says the three regalim akneged, the three others. So the Torah, Pesach neged Avraham, Shavuos keneged Yitzchak, Sukkos keneged Yaakov. Dichsev ulu mikneyu oso Sukkos. Peladi gezach. Yaakov Avinu makes for his animals, he makes them little huts. And therefore, we call Sukkos on the name of Yaakov Avinu, because Yaakov Avinu made Sukkos for his animals. We have to understand what's going on over here, what's the fact. The Yaakov Avinu made Sukkos for his animals. What's that going to do with our Yom Tov of Sukkos? There's one other place in the Torah where we see a simcha by produce. There's a whole mitzvah of simcha by Bikurim. We find by Bikurim, the Torah gives us a commandment that Tzivui v'somachto b'chol ha'toiv asher nosnucha Hashem elekecha ulevesecha. The Torah tells you, be b'simcha, when you're bringing Bikurim, you're taking your produce to Yerushalayim, to the Palter and Shalmelech, have simcha. So the Veld asks the Kasha, are you telling someone to have simcha? First of all, of course he's going to be with simcha. The Baruch Hashem, his produce has come out, he's got what to bring, he's got his geshmak and luscious grapes, he has his produce, he's bringing it on his golden basket, whatever basket, Yerushalayim, of course he's going to be with simcha. What's the tzivah with simcha? And if he's not with simcha, so you tell him, be with simcha, v'samachtel v'yashem elekecha, be with simcha. What does it help giving somebody a tzivun to be besimcha? It doesn't make anybody besimcha. I want to explain with the following story. There was an American, businessman visiting Eretz Yisrael, and he's strolling around the Asharim and the battery of his phone goes and he desperately needs to use the phone, so the nearest house he finds in the Asharim, he knocks on the door and he says in Yiddish to this Rishalmi lady who opened the door to him, says, can I use your phone? The pleasure that he feels the atmosphere, it's ringing, buzzing in the house, the simcha. And he says to the lady, he says to her, can I use your phone? She doesn't use the phone and he's about to leave and he sees drops, he looks around, he sees there's a leak right into the dining room, it's dripping in. So he turns around to her, he says to her, listen, I appreciate the phone. I brought Hashem, I have panos of our cover. Is there any way I can maybe help you fix the roof? You've got kinder lechen ha'aretz, it's raining in. She looks at him, she says, what? He said, do you want to fix the roof? She says, you see what's coming through my roof? Through my roof, it's coming, it's pouring, gishmi bracha. The Rabbeinu Shalom is souring on us bracha, he's souring us rain. And you want to take away my gishmi bracha? She didn't know what he was on about. Says Rav Moshe Gifter, it says the Torah, when the Torah says the Samachta Peshem and the Kessel, the person that's bringing his Bikurim, his Taked God, his unbelievable produce, he's all excited. He's walking to Yerushalayim with the grapes, with the produce, and his Mamash Mitzvah Simcha. But then, there's one hitch. As he's walking down, he sees coming up next to him this other Yid with a much nicer basket, with much bigger fruits. And he starts sipping the mashtikos. Yeah, it's got nice, but you're not desser. You're not gresser. The other person is already a holiday. I didn't know such a such sad grapes, the club. And he starts singing, Simcha, look, the Torah of the Samachtol, if Nashem Elekecho, be the Simcha, as a Nosan Lecho. The Nosan Lecho is what you have to be Simcha about, Babi Kurim. Tevuo is the Semel. Is the prime example of somebody who the Rebbeinu Shalom Hashgacha Pratis has given him this tour for you, this fruit for you. This is your Hashgacha Pratis, what I'm giving you, be the simcha, what I've given you. We're not living in an agricultural world. We walk into Tesco and 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, we can get any fruit or vegetable we want. Or we take ourselves back a few years back, where every farmer without the greenhouses, was living with the Rebbeinu Shalom at such a level of the Rebbeinu Shalom as Gocha Protest giving me a good produce and not such a good produce. That's the Simcha Bikurim, that's the Simcha of Tevuah. If we look at the Pasuk continues later on in the Torah, Tachas Asher Levadata Hashem Elekecha B'Simcha Mitzuv Leivav Miroiv Koil. What's the loss in Meroiv Koil? To explain this, we want to move one step forward. We're trying to bring Yaakov Avinu into the picture over here. Yaakov Avinu said the famous words to Esav when Esav was still angry on him. Yishlech Yaakov Sholach LeEsav Achiv, and Esav said to him, "I don't need Yeshli Rov. I have Rov." Shenken Yaakov Avinu. He says to Esav the words, Yeshli Koil, I have everything. What's the difference in Loshon of Yaakov Avinu and Esav? Yaakov Avinu looks at the cup and he says, Yesh li koil, I have everything that I want. The Rebbeinu Shlom has given me everything. Yesh li koil, everything. Because anything more the Rebbeinu Shlom would have given me. If I don't have it, then I've got koil. Esau, whatever he's got. It's wrong. Yeah, I have Baruch Hashem. He's always wanting better. He's always wanting the newer model, whatever it is. Esau is not happy. Tezabel Zerov, that's Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu. In the Gashmias. In anything the Rebbeinu Shlom has given him, he sees the coil. Yesh li koil. I have everything that I could want. Everything I could wish for. Anything I could dream for, because if I should have anything different, the Rebbeinu Shlom would give it to me. Takasa shalevata, tashem lekechav simcha, to be a roiv koil. A person's avodah is to make from the roiv koil. And the guy in Gashmias, wherever the Rebbeinu Shlom gives him, don't look at it as roiv, look at it as koil. That's Yaakov Avinu's koyach, taking your Gashmias and seeing the koil, seeing the Birkas Hashem, the Chesed Hashem. The Pasha of Avat Hashem, Va'avta Hashem Elikecho, there's a very, very interesting Balaturin. I'd like to use this Balaturin, who as you know is the Tor, to understand the Tor we mentioned earlier. The Tor writes that Sukkot is the Yontov of Yaakov Avinu because of the Pasuk of the Mekneh Osu Sukkos. Says the Balaturin, in the parsha of Krishna, V'ohavta et Hashem Elikecho. Says the Balaturin, do you know what we're referring to? Do you know what says in the words, V'ohavta? Says the Balaturin, V'ohavta, oisi ois ha'ovois. The V'ohavta et Hashem Elikecho, the love which you have to the Rebbeinu Shleilim, V'ohavta is oisi ois. Ho ovois, the ovois. And he continues, B'chol levovcho, kavrom, shenemar, motsoso, es levovoi. B'chol nafshecho, ki yitzchok, v'chol moidecho, ki yakov. Moidecho is Yaakov, says the Balaturim. Yaakov Avinu, he is merumez in the word moidecho. Talking about money. V'chol moidecho, with all your moidecho, with all of your gashmias. That's how you should serve the Rebbeinu Shleilam. Yaakov Avinu is mesamel to us on serving Hashem through v'chol moidecho, through all your moidecho. We see this if we look back and we scan through Yaakov Avinu in Kol HaTorah Kula, a very interesting phenomenon start bearing fruit. We look at Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu was the one that went back for the Pachim Ktanim. Yaakov Avinu went back the Pachim Ktanim. It may look like a lowly object, some Pachim Ktanim. What's it worth already? But Yaakov Avinu was cost. He appreciated the value of every single thing, even though it may look as Gashmias, but he appreciated the Pachim Ktanim. Yaakov Avinu is the one where the Torah writes, when he had his dream, Sulo Mutav Arso, Barisha Megasha Maimo. The message that you can have a ladder starting in Arso, Barisha Megasha Maimo. The top of the ladder is reaching Shemayim, because if we take our Arsias, we take our Moidecho, we take our Gashmias. But with that, we can reach great heights if we focus and we're having the right appreciation for the Gashmias that Rabbi Shem has given us. That's Yaakov Avinu having that dream. Yaakov Avinu says he was by the epitome of Gashmias, epitome of Shekel, been Lovon so many years, and he says, I managed to hold on to my Tariag Mitzvahs, even surrounded by Gashmias, because his focus was right. The Gemara Pesachim Peches talking about the Beit HaMikdash, Yaakov is the one who refers to Beis HaMikdash as a bias. Avraham called it a hor, Yitzchak called it a soda, Yaakov called it a bias. Yaakov said, you can have a bias, but from the bias you can make a Beis HaMikdash. Gashmias is our way of connecting to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam with the right focus. V'chol moedecho. Coming back to Yaakov Avinu, coming back to Chag HaOsif, coming back to the connection, the simcha that we have. What's happening over here? Says the Torah, Yaakov Avinu is connected the sukkos which you make with animals. You're making, says the Rechaim HaKadosh. Yaakov Avinu was the first one to make a hut for his animals. You think all these people that have the little huts for their poodles or dogs, whatever they have, or animals. Yaakov Avinu, says the Rechaim HaKadosh, was the first one to mechadosh the musig of having a bayis for mikneh, says the Rechaim HaKadosh. He took the gashmias. He took something which may look to us, something that we can't relate to, and he made it sukkos. Because if he's focused on the right thing with the right appreciation, that's all part of our Avodas Hashem. Then that is Kodosh. That is Yaakov Avinu's message. Yaakov Avinu is the one. Marav is Rishus. Avraham Avinu is connected. Shachris Yitzchak is connected. Mincha. Yaakov is connected. Arav is. Arav is Rishus. It's not what you don't have to. But if you take it and use it for the right thing, that is Yaakov Avinu. That's Marav. So now, the Torah says, Sukkot is connected. Yaakov Avinu. Why? Because Yaakov Avinu was the one that made the mikneos of sukkos. He had that appreciation. What you can achieve for focusing the mikneo in the right way. It's all about the appreciation what we have of Shlomo Freifeld, the Chayyim of Baruch. He was once putting on his tefillin in the morning, and he was taking his time longer than usual. So afterwards, one of his Talmidim says to him, Rabbeinu, explain what happened, what took so long? He says, I tell you, he says, that when we put on tefillin every morning, we normally, which the person should have such simcha, that you can put tefillin on in the morning. He said, and this morning, I didn't have that appreciation. I was missing the appreciation, I had to wait until I found that inspiration, that appreciation, putting on my tefillin. So the flame, it's not only by ruchnius, it's for everything that we have. It's bringing the Rabbeinu Shel Olam into our life. In all our ways. A true story happened in Tel Aviv. Fascinating story. Verified the facts. And unbelievably true. The rich businessman, multimillionaire at his time, was offered two business propositions at a similar time. One was to buy the 17th floor of the Israeli towers in Tel Aviv for quite a high sum of money, but the returns were very good. Then if you meet Tel Aviv, it's one of the interesting buildings there in Tel Aviv. And he's contemplating, yes, to invest there, not to invest there. And the other option is a lot of development land in Hungary. And he's toiling between the two decisions, and he decides to buy the land in Hungary. He buys the land in Hungary, and he gets that phone call a few weeks later, this land is not development land. If you want to grow your potatoes in there, you can grow your potatoes in the land, but it's not for development, this land. And over the next few weeks, he turns from a multimillionaire to a person that's looking to borrow money just to pay his daily bills. And some friend of his tells him, he says to him, you know, there's a company in Tel Aviv that will loan you money just to help you keep afloat until you get back on your feet. He says, fine, where's this place? He goes, he finds this place. And lo and behold, it's in the 17th floor, the Israeli towers. He makes his way to this block, goes into the office, signs the papers, brings the identification, and they give him the cash, puts it in his pocket, walking out. Thinks to himself, this could have been my floor. I'm busy here to borrow a few thousand dollars. This could be my floor. I'm here anyway, let me check out the building. Anyway, he strolls down the corridor, up the corridor, goes up the stairs, goes to the roof, looks at the view of Tel Aviv, and then the wind comes, blows the door closed, and he's on the roof, and he starts knocking, waiting for someone to come open the door. He waits 10 minutes, 20 minutes, half an hour, nobody answers the door. He's got no mobile phone on him. And he's sure that within a few minutes he'll be saved. Then after an hour, he's already banging hysterically, not a soul hears him. He's up there in the Shamayim. He hears the noise of the street below, and he doesn't know what to do. He's desperate. He, with a lot of courage, pushes himself to the edge of this end of the roof and he screams, "Can you hear me? Can you help me?" Nothing. It's already starting to become nightfall. And he has a brainwave. He says, I've got cash. I've got cash in me, right? David's got cash in my pocket. He takes some 200 shekel bills and he drops them down below. He says, "I'm sure the people below are going to see money raining from the skies." This is a true story. They're going to see money raining from the skies. And they're going to notice that I'll send them. They're going to come and save me anyway. He puts the money down. It's raining down. The people that are, they're running after the money. They're taking the money. No one looks up. And then a few minutes, the money's gone and they're all running off. They just carry on. The money's raining, gewaldig. He's left with no money and he's still there. And he's amazed. They've just taken all the money and he's stuck up there. Anyway, he's looking down in desperation. He noticed the rooftop is gravel. There's gravel on the top of the roof. So he takes some gravel and he says, "You know what?" He drops a few pieces of gravel down. Within 5 minutes, security on the roof arresting him for throwing gravel on people below in the street below. And he tries to explain to them, "What do you mean? I've been here for 3 hours already. I tried the money. I've tried this." Kids, after a few hours, they finally release him. He comes back home. He sits on the couch and thinks to himself, "What's happened today? I borrowed money, I lost all my money in the place where I could have owned." He says, "When I dropped the money, everyone took the money. The minute I dropped a few stones, then already everyone came running." He says, "The Rebbeinu Shalom given me for so many years, panosa b'chova and every bracha that I could imagine. Have I ever thanked him really for it? Have I had a real appreciation for what he's given me?" And he says, "I'm thanking you for everything you've given me, for my money you've given me, for what you've taken away from me." And his life changes. He has a whole new appreciation for everything he has in his life. And every day is a bracha now. The Gishmi bracha in his life are pouring down. Every day becomes alive. It's a whole new appreciation. And a few weeks later, he gets a phone call that the land in Hungary has been rezoned. And from rags to riches, he gets back on his feet again. But his life is different. It's a whole new appreciation for his life. The chesed that Rebbeinu Shalom has given him is in its full appreciation. The Yom Tov of Sukkot, if we look back a minute, where are we holding? We've started by Rosh Hashanah. We've had the Malchus of Rosh Hashanah. To us, it's Mitzvah Yom Kippur, Tahara, closer to Rebbeinu Shalom. And then we come to a Sukkot. What Sukkot? Says the Zohar HaKadosh, the Sukkot is the Rebbeinu Shalom with the two and a bit walls. He's Rebbeinu Shalom taking Klal Yisrael on his embrace. He says, "Klal Yisrael, come into my home." He's hugging Klal Yisrael. He said, "You've already reached the level of closest to me. You've had the Tahara of Yom Kippur. You realize I'm Melech. You realize I'm the King. Everything you're doing, I know is for me, but then come into my Sukkot." What do we do on Sukkot? There's no mitzvah of matzah on Sukkot. We're doing everything regular. We're eating regular. We're sleeping regular. We're smoothing regular. Everything regular. What's the mitzvah of Sukkot? Do everything regular in the Sukkot. Do everything normal in the Sukkot. That's what Rishon wants. And it says, now you've come close. How do you stay close? Just do everything regular. Do all your gashmias. Just get the message of Yaakov Avinu. Take your gashmias and just connect to me through it. Come into my embrace. Come into my Sukkot. And do everything that you normally do just in my Sukkah. And then we move on from Sukkahs into Shmini Atzeres. Shmini Atzeres. Parechod, Ayelechod. We're coming with the Yechidus before we go into this cold 6 month winter. Rishon says, "Come, b'miyachad mi Shmini Atzeres. Come close to me." And then finally, we have the Simchas Torah. What's happening in Shmini Atzeres, Simchas Torah? What's going on over here? The Rebbeinu says, "Klal, you've come to that appreciation that you can connect to me through your gashmis. You come to appreciation that you're close to me. That by even eating and sleeping and drinking, you are connecting in my home in such a closeness. But there's going to be a problem. You're not going to have for the whole year now Rosh Hashanah, a Yom Kippur, a Sukkot. We're going to a cold winter. Just remember, like the Medrash says, make for me. The Rebbeinu says, make for me a little room in your house, like the king says to his daughter before she leaves, make for me that room, keep connected to me." How? Through Simchas Torah. The Torah is the only thing that can connect us. Rav Shach was once approached by a whole committee from America. They came for an important meeting to discuss Dvorim, Moimdim, Berumah Shel Olam. Can you imagine the number of the American Jewry they flew in specially to speak to the God Lazon, to guide them in how to deal with the vital issues in America? Anyway, they organize the Gavoy, and these are going to be 2 hours, uninterrupted time, just for Rav Shach. And they come in, the committee, can you imagine? In the middle of the meeting, Rav Shach says, Gavoy, no disturbances. Anyway, middle of the meeting, a father and son arrive. And the father says, I just want my son to get a bracha from Rav Shach, just a small bracha. Anyway, for some reason, the Gavoy's heart melts. And he pops into the shach, there's a father and a son here, do you mind? Brocha, just a brocha. These people have flown in for America for 2 hours. The shach says, let him come in. He sends it out, sits down with the boy. And he starts talking to the boy. He says to the boy, do you enjoy your learning? Do you enjoy yeshiva? He says, no. He says, I've never really understood Gemara properly. He says, what Gemara are you learning? Take out Gemara. The shach sits him on one side of the table, him on the other side of the table. And for 2 hours, while the whole committee of America are there, Rav Shach is sitting with this little 13 and a half year old boy, and he's learning with him a Shtikla Eli Metzias. And after Rav Shach explains to the Gemara again and again, it's the first time, he says to him, do you understand the Gemara? He says, yes, it's the first time in my life. The first time in my life I've understood a piece of Gemara. And the boy is beaming. And Rav Shach says to him, now Mr. Mibi Matzliach, and he lets him out. The committee come in 2 hours later. And the question is posed, Rav Shach, what's going on over here? We asked for 2 hours. Is this a boy of 13 and a half? Rav Shach said, you don't understand, he said. With this boy, unless he has appreciation of Torah, there's no hope for him in his life. That Masikos HaTorah that he just now got in these 2 hours is Netzach. That's going to hold him the whole through his whole life. Eilon Roshirak HaTorah Azois. Simchas Torah is the time. Where we take the Torah, we're sameach with the Torah, with the simcha with the Torah, because that's the only thing that can help us take our koichos and our connection which we've achieved now in these days of Yom Tov. Just want to finish off with the last story. Happened now, mamash, these days, on Simchas Torah in Auschwitz. Yemach Shem Omer Zichron, they took 50 bochurim in the gas chambers, and about to gas these 50 bochurim, 16, 17-year-old boys, and they say to them, the Germans say to them, they close the doors behind them and they're waiting for the gas to be turned on Simchas Torah. And one of the boys says to that boy, you know, today's Simchas Torah. We've got no Sifrei Torah, we've got no. The Rebbe says, they say to each other, the Bochrim say, let's sing. And these 50 Bochrim hold hands together in the gas chambers in Auschwitz and they sing the words, Baruch Elokeinu Shebaronu L'Chvoidem. And they're dancing and they're pounding the floors where they're dancing and the Germans come in all angry, what's going on over here? Well, you're singing. Yes, we're singing that we're Jews. We're singing we're alive. The Germans, it's outrageous. He said, you're not going to die. It's a simple death in the gas chambers. You all come out. We're going to give you the real death that you deserve. And he takes the 50 Bochrim out. And he takes those Bochrim into a different barracks. And they're waiting to see what will happen with them. A few hours later, middle of the night, the chief commandant arrives in Auschwitz that they desperately need young laborers in a different camp. And within a few minutes, he said, there's 50 boys there. Take those boys. And they get carted off to a different place. All of them, every one of them survived the war. Each of those 50. Why? They had the real appreciation for every second of life, a real Simchas HaTorah, which is appreciation that we're alive, appreciation that we have mitzvahs, appreciation that we have the Rabbeinu Shleilim to connect to through our mitzvahs. Yaakov Avinu is the one that stands with us through the whole Golos. Yaakov Avinu is the one in the darkness for us, Meirev. He says, even in your mikneh, or even if you're busy with Gashmias, if you're busy with the world, you think, don't forget about Rabbeinu Shleilim, bring him into your life. Besimcha, with appreciation for your tevuah, with appreciation for everything. When we have that appreciation, we understand why Sukkot is called Chag HaOsif. That's the simcha, taking our appreciation into our Gashmias and move forward with it into the whole year. We should take a bizoicha to feel a real simcha sayomtev, a simcha satayra, and take it with us into the year. Yeah.